Yes, the big white house on the corner, top of Harridan Road. Have they never had you round? Yes, they're in Mallorca, back tomorrow. With all the stuff they've got in the house, I think they're mad not to have a burglar alarm. What? Oh, is that the time? Me too. Bye. Bye. I was just blithering away with Margaret on my mobile while I had a cup of coffee in Jenner's. Ordinary white coffee. None of this nonsense. When I put the phone down, I noticed the young man at the next table. He had a mobile too, and he was texting something into it at 10 to the dozen without even looking, the way these young people do. Our eyes met momentarily. Then he looked away. Furtive, he struck me as. Shifty. My first thought was to wonder what he was doing in Jenner's. Shaved head, sports clothes much too large for him, and a tattoo on his neck. A dragon or a snake wiggling up to bite off his ear. Not a typical Jenner's customer. My second thought was, me and my big mouth. He was only 5 feet away. My friends joke about how my voice carries. So he'd certainly heard my remarks about Alice and Donald's house. What had I said exactly? Only where it was that they were away, that it was full of stuff and that there was no burglar alarm. Oh, dear. While I was just thinking this, he shot off like a man on a mission. Now what was I going to do? I rang Duncan. He was at home. He's always at home now he's retired. That's why I'm out so often. He took his time picking up the phone. Yes, he said, suppressing a yawn it sounded like. I think he'd been having one of his power naps, as he calls them. He has enough of those that he should be Superman by now. I explained what had happened and asked him what he thought I should do. Helen, really, what's the statistical probability that it was a burglar? How many burglars do you think there are in the population at large? But he had a tattoo, I said. Helen, will you just forget about it? Did you get something for the tea, by the way? So, predictably enough, it was all dismissed. Easy enough for him. But since Alice had entrusted me with her door key and watering their plants, I felt very responsible. Well, call me ridiculous, but the next thing I did, on the spur of the moment, really, was call 999. I just thought I'd better put the police on the alert. It took me a little while to explain that it was a potential burglary that I was describing. The woman, I don't know if she was a policewoman, gave me the impression that I wasn't sticking to the script. So, there hasn't been any crime, she kept saying. No, but there's every possibility of one. Now you've got the address, could you get a patrol car to go by there a couple of times this evening? By the time I'd gathered my shopping bags and left the cafe, my mind was made up. The only thing I could do in the circumstances was to get the bus over to Alice and Donald's house right away and spend the evening there, perhaps even the whole night. As I walked up Alice and Donald's rather ostentatious gravel drive, I suddenly thought, what if the burglar's already here? So I made a lot of noise opening the door and called out, hello, before I went in, to let him make his getaway out of the back. I stood in the hall for a few moments, listening. Then I went round the house, room by room. No one there. Thank goodness. I must admit, I knew my way round Alice and Donald's house. Even the rooms without plants. Well, you like to know how people live, don't you? It's just human curiosity. Their bedroom is simply hideous, with a fake animal pelt on the bed, like a gigantic piece of roadkill. I rang Duncan, and he was as slow as before picking up the phone. This time I could hear the television in the background. Yes? I explained how I was spending my evening. He made an attempt to persuade me to come home, but I held my ground. The plants were all watered already, so I didn't have a lot to do. It was getting dark, so I went around the house, pulling the curtains and putting lots of lights on. But what if the burglar thought they were set to come on with timers and was undeterred? That was a frightening thought. To keep my mind off burglars, I looked into some areas that I hadn't already investigated thoroughly. I opened the wardrobe. Alice's taste in clothes is eccentric. She dresses too young for her years. That's it in a nutshell. It's not as if 60-year-old knees are something the world wants to see. I opened the drawers in the dressing table. There were some surprisingly saucy underwear in there. Red. And, tucked under some pairs of frilly knickers, a jewellery case. I eased it out cautiously and opened it. Well, it must have been costume jewellery. No one would have that many real diamonds tucked away in a drawer. Oh, my God! There was someone watching me. I whirled round with a cry of panic. But it was me, my reflection in the wardrobe door, which had swung open. I stared at myself holding the jewellery box. I looked like a burglar. I put everything back just as it was, and then I thought of fingerprints. If the house was burgled, the police would look for fingerprints, and whose would they find? Just then, there was a sound of footsteps outside on the gravel. Oh, my goodness! I made a dash downstairs where the phone was, and just as I arrived in the hall, the doorbell rang. I shouted through the locked door. My voice came out all squeaky. Who is it?
Police,
came the reply. What a relief! I opened the door. Two policemen were standing there.
We've been asked to check this address. Are you the owner?
No.
Who are you then, madam?
I'm Mrs. Henderson. Mrs. Helen Henderson. One of them looked in his notebook.
You were the lady who telephoned 999 earlier on.
Yes. So, of course, I had to launch into an explanation of why I was there. They gave me their direct number to call them on if burglars showed up, which was very kind. But after I'd shut the door, I could hear them laughing as they walked off. The next half hour was uneventful. I felt hungry, but there was no food. They'd emptied the fridge when they went away, and their pantry was a desert. In the event of a nuclear holocaust, Duncan and I could survive for at least a fortnight with my stocks of tins and dried foods. In those circumstances, what would Alice be able to offer Donald, beyond dressing up in red underwear? I felt too ashamed to poke around the house any more, so I settled in front of the television. I was still feeling tense, and when there was a tapping on the door, a sort of quiet, ghostly tapping, well, you can imagine how I jumped. This time it must definitely be the burglar. "Who's there?" I called out as boldly as I could. "It's me," came Duncan's voice from the other side. "I've brought some fish and chips." Oh, I was so relieved. I opened the door and surprised him with a hug. "Why didn't you ring the bell, you silly ass?" I said. "Oh, is there a bell?" he said, looking everywhere but the right place. After we'd eaten the fish and chips, Duncan mysteriously went out of the car without a word. I thought perhaps he was off, but he came back laden with bundles like a donkey.
"I dug out our sleeping bags from the old camping days," he explained. "And I've got pillows as well. I knew you'd want to prolong your daft behaviour until tomorrow."
We set up camp in the spare bedroom, just putting the sleeping bags on top of the bed. It was rather fun now Duncan had come. I wasn't so worried about the burglar with him there. He'd brought some whiskey too, so we had some of that. Well, quite a lot, actually.
I don't know what it was. The unusual setting, the odd circumstances. But Duncan and I rather reverted to the kind of behaviour that characterised the earlier years of our marriage. So that was a pleasant surprise. Perhaps the power naps were doing him some good. "This is very naughty, Duncan," I commented as we rolled over to sleep. "In someone else's house without them even knowing we're here." We giggled at that. Really, just like two teenagers. Then I turned out the bedside light. I was in the middle of a lovely sleep when I woke with a start. I was sure I'd heard the sound of breaking glass. "Duncan!" I hissed urgently. "Mort," he muttered, half asleep. "Someone's coming in the house. Shout out who's there." But then I heard a siren and a car screeching up the gravel drive. Then there were car doors opening and shouting. By this time we'd got to the window. Well, down there was the flashing blue light of a police car and two policemen in conversation with, guess who? My young man from Jenner's. Then another police car came up the drive. We scrambled into our clothes and got to the door just as the bell rang. It was the same two policemen from earlier on. Behind them, I could see my young man climbing into the back of the second police car. "Sorry, we had to let him break a window. Nothing to charge him with otherwise." "So, were you watching the house all along?" I said, hoping the spare bedroom curtains had been properly closed.
"No need to. From your description of the tattoo, we knew exactly who you'd seen. So, when he was spotted walking on this side of the town in the middle of the night, we thought he might turn up here."
When the police had gone, Duncan and I felt quite wide awake, so we decided to pack up the sleeping bags and just go home. I posted Alice and Donald's spare key through the letterbox after we'd locked up. When we got into the car, Duncan said,
"You know what? I'm afraid I've left the whiskey bottle behind."
"Oh, well done," I said, wondering how I would explain that to Alice. "Whereabouts?"
"It must be on the floor in the spare bedroom," he said.
He seemed to think it was funny. I ticked him off, but there was nothing to be done. So I decided it would be best to say nothing at all about it to Alice and Donald. But when I spoke to Alice on the phone the next evening to explain about the broken window, I felt there was something a little odd about her manner. At the time, I thought she must have found the bottle. But then, afterwards, I remembered... Oh, I can hardly bring myself to say. You see, what with the whiskey and everything, I'm afraid I'd put on some of her red underwear at one point in the proceedings and, well, I think that must have been left lying on the floor too. Oh, dear.